Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have Miriam. Actually, I'm going to start that again because Miriam, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Waldie.
Yes, Miriam Waldie.
Okay. All right. Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Got something a little bit different today to the things that we've been talking about for a while. I have with me the gorgeous Miriam Waldie. Now, Miriam is a Brisbane mum. She runs her own hair and tanning business while also running a national pageant, which she has developed over the last 7 years. Miss Fit Bikini Model. It's not your typical bikini competition. The competition supports and empowers women of all shapes, sizes, and backgrounds by encouraging a holistic approach to fitness, overall well-being, positive body image, and building confidence in women. How cool is that? A core aspect of her business is also supporting and promoting Australian small business. Welcome, Miriam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I know when I got your information, you were recommended through a mutual contact, and I thought, now this is very, very cool, and read through what you do with the pageant. Now, tell me a little bit more about you, what got you into this and your background, and then we can talk about why you built the pageant.
Of course. Well, a big part of, I guess, why I kind of do what I do is I really believe in the ripple effect and why one particular circumstance or event in your life can lead down to many, many different tracks. So I think it was 2014, going back a fair few years, I had a bit of a, you know, life change, which got me to think a little bit more of the, you only live once, do something that's going to scare you a little bit, that you probably wouldn't have never done before. So I have a little girl, she's 11. And after I had my daughter, I was in the gym with one of my girlfriends. We'd go spend a bit of time in the gym, but it was more so just so we could, you know, the babies were in the daycare and we had a bit of mum time. And at that point, one of the trainers in the gym recommended that I do a bikini competition. And I was... No. It's very much not me. I'm a very much behind the scenes kind of girl, quite shy, love to keep active, but that was about it. But after this life experience in 2014, I was like, right, I'm going to do something so crazy to get myself out of my comfort zone. So I did. I did a bodybuilding bikini competition.
That's certainly something out of most people's comfort.
Way. And I really thought that I would prepare myself for this journey and pull out by the end of it. But I did it, and which kind of got me on this track of what I'm doing now.
Wow, that is certainly a big challenge to do that. And I love that you were going to the gym to socialize as well as get fit. That's how I started my gym experience. Now, my oldest son just turned 39 in December. That's how long ago. And the other one's 36. And when I started going to the gym, a girlfriend rang and said, hey, it was at the QE2. They used to have mum's fitness classes, and then you could go out and run on the track, and then we'd have a cup of tea, and it would be about 3 hours. Fabulous child mining facility that was all about $1 or $2, and it was wonderful. But it not only just got you into the socializing, which is so important when you have at home with young children and babies, but it built this fitness mindset as well, that things that you do, you keep your body healthy and well because it feels good. And I actually went on to become an aerobic instructor for 10 years following that and did the training to do that. And one of the other ladies that was there with me did exactly the same thing as well. But it's that doing that one thing and becoming a fitness trainer is, you know, that's definitely a challenge. But standing up in front of an audience as a bikini, being evaluated and judged on how you look like that, wow, that's a big step, Miriam.
It was.
I'm in awe of you doing that. But also now that what you've done with the pageant that you have, that's different, isn't it?
Completely different. So from my one experience of doing a, you know, bikini competition, mm-hmm. I guess it opened my eyes to the fitness industry and, you know, the fitness modeling industry. And again, opening my eyes to the not so great side effects that can happen to women from doing something so extreme. In some cases, it can be a little extreme. You know, just from my experience, from all the women I've met and spoken to, with the amount of eating disorders, body dysmorphia, just this spiraling negativity about their self-worth and their body was really, really quite heartbreaking to see. Mm-hmm. I did experience a little bit of all of that stuff from doing that particular event. So I thought, okay, there's a gap in this market where, you know, we, as you know, having that goal to work towards is always going to be, you know, with fitness, you need a goal. But to have that platform for women where it's done in such a holistic way that we're going to try and really target those side effects and just created a different option for women that are looking for that goal, and also to support women who may have potentially gone down that track or are not feeling so great about their body, to just really embrace themselves and just support them on that journey of self-love and body acceptance while creating that long-term holistic lifestyle. So not just shred for stage or just, you know, over diet to look a certain way. We want healthy habits all year round. Be healthy, happy and confident.
I love that body acceptance. I remember one of the ladies I've been involved with is a networker for a while. She has a statement where she said that she starved herself thin, and that's just not, you know, a great way to do anything. It's that acceptance of we all are different shapes and sizes, and, you know, we are different shapes. That's an important factor, that some of us will never be a model thin person. It's just the body won't do that. I actually love all the, you know, the old Renaissance paintings where everyone is quite normal shapes and sizes, and they paint that, and that was honored then, as opposed to having to be super thin. Or the bikini ones was not just thin, it was muscular as well, but not over the top like a bodybuilder. It was just had to be spot on. And I can imagine the issues with the eating. It's like any form of modeling, isn't it? There's always those issues behind it to achieve unrealistic results. So with the pageant that you run now, it's to do with health and well-being. What's the criteria?
So the criteria, we do have like an application process where we ask the applicants certain questions. So we're quite a boutique kind of community. So it's not for everybody and anybody. So we spend a lot of time and energy supporting and mentoring, you know, all of the contestants. So we kind of ask them what their goals are and what they want to achieve out of doing something like Miss Fit Bikini Model. So we can make sure that our values really align and we can really actually support that person. Even though it's a fit bikini model event, it's not a typical comp. So fit, we you know, fit looks different on everybody, just like you said. So we don't have any strict criteria on your body shape or your look whatsoever. So that's fit, bikini. We empower women to feel comfortable wearing swimwear. There's nothing to be ashamed about feeling confident in what you're wearing. And model is just being a role model for others. So it's not your typical model. So the criteria is really just looking into the individual, understanding their background and why they're wanting to do it. And the majority of the applicants that come through, they are wanting to grow confidence. They are wanting to learn how to love themselves and just have a goal to work towards to help them, you know, keep on track. So that's kind of the criteria. So if it aligns, then we welcome women from all different backgrounds.
Is it just in Southeast Queensland?
So our event is held on the Gold Coast once a year. Pre-COVID, we did run events in Melbourne and Sydney, but we have women from all over Australia who participate and who are excited to fly over to the Gold Coast to be part of it.
And how do people demonstrate fit?
A lot of it is done through the social media in terms of how we take those things on board. So we do ask to see their social media. It's not a big criteria in terms of they have to have a big following or have to be super active. But as long as we can kind of see that they're making a bit of an effort, you know, through their journey to keep active, because a big part of why we're doing it is to, again, that ripple effect and inspire others. So if they're showing a little bit of their daily lives, or, you know, then, you know, going for their, you know, monthly hike or things like that, that's going to inspire other people to do those things as well.
Yes. And so there's I am assuming then there's a fair lead in time to once someone's selected to be in the pageant. Am I using the right word with pageant?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. To be in the pageant, that there's a fair lead-in time to demonstrate all of this, and to, because all of this would be part of the judging criteria then, wouldn't it?
Yes. So pretty much after one show is finished, we're pretty much open for the following year, because we have lots of women that are like, when's the next one? We want to do it. Last year was the first time that I actually gave myself a good 6 months off to just reevaluate, regroup, and so we can come back bigger and better and give more energy and opportunity. But the registrations are open, and it is the case where the sooner you apply and you're chosen, the more support you're going to get for your goals, and again, the opportunity in the lead up to. Judging wise, it's not just pageant weekend. We take all sorts of things on board throughout the journey.
And where is pageant weekend?
Pageant weekend is the 21st and 22nd of October on the Gold Coast.
Okay, so there's a fair bit of time for people to get in and, okay. Yeah, so once somebody's there, you know, they're being selected, they turn up for the pageant. Okay, so now tell me how they demonstrate fit.
Yes. Well, yeah. So, for example, we've just had a really beautiful lady register this week from Queensland, and a part of we've definitely changed up the judging criteria this year, and that's to give a little bit more accountability to the ladies, because over the years we've kind of learned different things along the way. Because we're wanting to support them in their goals, and being, you know, in different areas, you do need that accountability. So, again, a lot of it is done via our private, you know, sisterhood community group, just being involved and be part of that. Again, just visually on social media.
Yeah, because when you talk about fit, I've automatically gone to physical fit, which is what you're you know, promoting with what people to participate and demonstrate. But I'm also thinking now mind fit, emotionally fit. There's all those components to it, isn't it? That
absolutely,
it's not just, because it's not just about how people look, it's how they present themselves to the world, and but being really authentic to, this is exactly who I am.
Yes, absolutely. So again, a lot of that is done through our connection. So we'll do regular Zoom catch-ups. We'll have little events within our sisterhood to support the women, and obviously for them to show us as well how they are getting involved and showing up for themselves and others. We do have a questionnaire as well for the models, for us to kind of dive in a little bit deeper into their background and what they've overcome, things like that.
That part of it is a part of the criteria, a judging criteria, is as well as if they've had something that they've worked their way through and come out the other side.
So we have quite a few different awards and titles through the pageant. One that comes to mind is Miss Transformation. So this could be a body transformation, or it could also be a confidence or mental transformation. So how we kind of determine that is diving deeper into, you know, their history and, you know, if there's been challenges that they've been through. We had a really lovely lady win Miss Transformation a fair few years ago. And I remember meeting her for the first time and then seeing her on the pageant weekend, and her confidence had just blown up. It was so amazing to see. And she ended up coming back two years later to do it again. And she said, you know, I won Miss Transformation. It was such a great opportunity, but I still, you know, I grew in confidence, but I'm still wanting to grow more. So that was just really, really beautiful.
That I love hearing stories like that. That's awesome. So that's a category, Miss Transformation. Are there other categories?
So this is one of my favorites, actually, Miss Girlfriend. So Miss Girlfriend is somebody that's just very social. They are all about connecting with the other women, like really supporting others on their journey. And that's voted by, you know, the contestants in our team. We also have an award called Miss Inspiration, which is a firm favorite as well. And so that is obviously somebody that people look up to for inspiration.
Yeah, that's cool. I particularly like that. I'm just thinking when this goes to air, it'll be not at the moment, but at the moment Married at First Sight is on TV. And I think a lot of them can use that, could use that Miss Girlfriend. And just I notice, you know, the that and the not making a general statement, but it's certainly standing out with quite a few of the women and men on there, that beauty on the outside does not necessarily mean beauty on the inside. Not at all. And it's, and I know it's a TV show and I know it's meant to play it up. And it, and I apologize to anyone. A friend of mine addicted to me this to me. And I only watch The Couch on Sundays. But I have to now. It's ridiculous. But more because of, you know, part of what I do is looking how people communicate with each other. And that's where I see benefit, as well as just looking at people going, you may be so attractive, but what you're doing, you don't look attractive because of what's coming from out inside out. It's just this, the beauty isn't there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yes, I do particularly like that Miss Girlfriend and Misinformation and misinspiration and mistransformation. It really sets it apart that it definitely isn't just how good you look in a bikini.
Absolutely.
But why call it bikini still there?
So I bought the business, when was it? 7 years ago, from an Australian bikini designer. And essentially she had started Fit Bikini Model Extravaganza to just showcase her swimwear. Mm-hmm. And she was leaving the country and I had the opportunity to kind of buy that out, which I then just completely rebranded. Mm-hmm. And I guess having a little bit of taste of the fitness industry and the type of naming that was involved, I was really wanting to kind of target some of the fit bikini models that are doing other things or are looking at doing other things to grab their attention, to say, hey, we're here. Mm. We might be a better suited option for you.
Okay, I get that. So do they have to wear bikinis?
For our event?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So again, it comes down to that empowerment and that message of showing women of, again, all shapes, sizes, and ages as well.
There's no age cutoff?
You know, I think the oldest I've had is 55.
Would you say 65?
55.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty awesome as well. And I can imagine someone at that age would be Miss Inspiration.
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, I had a really beautiful lady from Melbourne come up to do it, and she was in her early 50s, and she came runner up, and she was beautiful. She was rocking her, she was a grandma, she was rocking her beautiful long white hair, and she was amazing.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
that would be really, really cool. So you get an audience in, obviously, and market it on the Gold Coast and around the surrounds for people to go and cheer people on and check it out. Okay.
With the audience, we do keep it quite private, actually. Okay. So it is open to friends, family. We definitely do welcome certain guests.
Yeah.
It is more of a private exclusive event, okay, because we just like to kind of keep it nice and intimate for the models. We have anybody just rocking up to check them out. But we do obviously open up to, you know, people that are really interested or would like to support or be inspired by the show.
Yeah, cool. No, it certainly sounds interesting. So you started talking about, you know, the issues with modeling. And have you done any other modeling background before?
Oh, when I was really, really, really little, I think I did a couple of photo shoots here and there, but it was really when I first started this, when I really started to dive into it and just be exposed to it all and learn a lot as well. Over the last 7 years, I've definitely learned so much within the industry. But I feel like I've done a fair bit in the last 7 years.
Yeah. So the women that are participating, do they need any experience? It doesn't sort of sound like it.
No, not at all. I mean, sometimes the experience of just doing our event gives them that confidence that they're looking for. And again, there's no criteria in terms of we want, you know, a professional or somebody that's already oozing confidence, because really we're wanting to kind of help support those that are looking for that.
And that's the thing, isn't it, that this is what I'm hearing. It's very much helping people grow in confidence so that they can go, hey, look at me, I'm in bikinis and I feel okay in front of an audience.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it just feels very Aussie to the whole bikini thing on the Gold Coast as well. I know social media is, you know, plays a big part in our perception of ourselves and that body acceptance. So what are the techniques that you help your participants with to, you know, really accept how they are and who they are?
So in the lineup of our contestants, you'll see that every woman's body looks completely different. There's clearly different nationalities in there. So we use a lot of that content through our social media, in our group that's a big core message in our marketing to promote different bodies. And we do obviously follow a lot of other women empowerment and body positivity brands and accounts and influencers and love to share all of their, their quotes or their messages, because collectively, you know, we're all wanting to achieve the same goal. It's just spreading that awareness.
Yeah. It's easier as you get become more mature. I'm not going to say older. As you become more mature, just to go, well, that's just what it is. You know, the body changes, particularly it changes when you hit 60, and you know that everything moves around in a different space than it used to be. No matter how fit you stay, it is a bit easier to go, oh yeah, well that's me. But it's not that easy when you're in your teens and your 20s and 30s and younger, even 40s, to to really be comfortable in your own body. But yeah. Is there anything, you know, other than that social media and, you know, being part of groups? Is so you said you work with, you know, the team just to help them support through that. Is there any techniques that you can share that you use to help and assist yeah. your candidates, participants?
I think it just comes down to consistency and just being surrounded by women that are going to cheer you on and really live by those core values. I think as us as women, we are our own, you know, worst critic. And as much as I preach, you know, all of these values, I'm a woman. I have my days where I'm like, hey, I'm not feeling myself today, you know, and that's okay. It's just allowing yourself to be okay with those emotions. And I think it just comes down to the experience and going through them and, you know, picking yourself back up each time. And each time you do, it gets easier and easier. So I think it's just surrounding yourself with people that have that same value and that are going to,
Yeah, that's definitely a point. And that's one of the things, you know, when I'm teaching people either confidence in sales or speaking or really just confidence, is that it's okay to feel nervous. Making sure then that if you're feeling like that, that you go and do some affirmations or you go and read a book where there's people that are engaging you and lifting you, or you hang out with the people that lift you up and avoid the ones that pulled you down. But it's okay that you're just not feeling okay for a bit, then to recognize it and observe that, how that feels. And then, you know, to, okay, I'm just going to be like this, but then I will move out of it. You can own it, you know, just to be. It's, yeah. And then that's such an important awareness, just to go, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like it can create that spiral if you're judging yourself for having those thoughts. So just really accepting and allowing yourself to be with that, and that's okay. And you know, you have your good days and your not so great days. But I guess like our sisterhood is that really, really safe place where people can be very vulnerable and open and, you know, put their hand up, say, hey ladies, I'm not feeling great, or this is what's going on in my life, or I had this experience and it made me feel that way. And they've just got that support there to really build them up.
And having a sisterhood and people that you know that you can, that will be there to support you, is such an amazing space. I think women tend to do that better than men. I think that's part of the, you know, sitting around the campfire, cooking the meals, talking type of space that that women have carried through for the thousands of generations, and not necessarily men do it as well, to put them in a supportive space. And I think statistics around not so pleasant topics demonstrate that it is such an important factor for any women. And I think the other thing too is often women may not think that they want to burden somebody with their issues, but recognizing the fact that they're letting people down by not sharing their problems and giving the person and someone else an opportunity to assist.
I love that perspective. I'm going to be writing that down and using that before. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's we all want to be there. And we all want to be asked sometimes, can you help me? And I know I've run events and even school fete when the boys were younger, and I've asked people to do certain things and help. And I had one lady burst into tears because she said, nobody's ever asked me to help.
Aww.
And it really was an eye-opener for me because it enables people and gives them the skills and the confidence to know that, what's one, somebody's asked them to assist, and two, that they've been able to follow through with it and get it done, which is very, very, very cool. Yeah, and then that's part of what a sisterhood is about. But I think that's such an important factor. Anyone listening, if you're going through something, you know, reach out and seek that help from people, because we want to help. You know, it's, and you know the people that you can go to. You know the people that will lift you up rather than them pull you down. I imagine it becomes a whole family experience, though.
Yeah, it really does. I get quite emotional. I get quite emotional at the event. So instead of doing a speech on stage in front of everybody, we have our little pep talk, you know, behind stage before the big runway show, where we all kind of, you know, the team kind of share their thanks and encouragement. And it's always like, oh my gosh, just a, it really is, you know. So it's lovely to see.
Yeah, so they don't share on stage in front of like a testimony to the journey's been for them at all?
Yes, absolutely. So part of, you know, the application process, you know, they fill out some questions. So when the models go on stage, they get quite ample time on their own. So it's not just a bunch of women going up together. It's very personal. So a lady will walk up and will be able to give, like, the MC will give a bit of a background into who the lady is, where she's come from, what she's doing with her life, why she's doing it, what her goals are. So that way the audience can really get to know her and see where she's come from. So she's not just a lady in a bikini on stage. You know, she's a real person with, you know, substance and goals and, you know, life challenges that she's gone through.
That's really important. And I can imagine that there's women who have joined who haven't had that family support, but they've stepped up anyway because they've maybe feel like they've got something to prove.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, for sure. We definitely have women from all sorts of scenarios and reasons for wanting to do it. Yes, a lot of them are maybe trying to prove something to themselves that, yes, I can do something I set my mind to. You know, they, again, wanting that family. They may, you know, we've had like a couple of women that, you know, have come from overseas and they don't have any friends or family. So they're trying to build that supportive network.
Yeah. How many women in the contest?
So it has fluctuated over the years, particularly with COVID, our good friend COVID. Last year, I believe we had 12. So we do like to keep it intimate so we can give that really one-on-one support. My goal is to have 30 beautiful women this year because I see it as, you know, my team is growing and that's 30 women that we can support and share their journey.
Yes, and so you're running at the one pageant in Queensland. So it means that you can have women come from all around the country. How do you get the information out there?
A lot of it is just social media. We have over the years developed quite an authentic following. So we have a lot of ladies that have, you know, done it and they've, hey, I've been following you for years and I think this is my year. And I do very much try to network as much as I can to just spread the word. And the team and previous contestants are really, really great ambassadors for what we do.
Yeah, I imagine they would. What is probably your most motivating story having done this over the years?
Okay. One that comes to mind straight away is pretty much like when my first year of doing it, I knew a beautiful lady from Brisbane. I think she was in her 40s and she was in training for a bodybuilding competition. She'd been working really hard and she came to me and said, hey, Miriam, I've been working really hard to do this bikini comp. My coach said that I'm not ready. And I said, I won't say her name. I said, girl, you have been working hard on yourself. You deserve to celebrate what you've been working on. Come do this. And she did. And I remember distinctly the day of pageant and she had her hair and makeup done. And she came up to me and she gave me the biggest hug and she said, oh my goodness, Miriam, thank you so, so, so much. Like, this is the best thing I've ever done. Thank you for making me feel worthy and enough. And yeah, that was just like, ooh. Yeah.
I love that sermon of feel worthy and enough.
Yeah. And she was amazing. Like we do have a lot of mums that do our event. But, you know, she's a woman in her 40s who's had children. She's working hard on her fitness and her lifestyle as well to be able to work her job, run her family, and she's still dedicating this time. And I just thought that was so sad that a coach could tell her that she wasn't ready, because her body didn't look a certain way to be on a certain stage. And I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The body didn't look a certain way to be on a certain stage.
Yeah.
That's very telling.
Yeah.
But that to feel worth and feel enough, that is a very strong statement from somebody. Yeah, really cool. I can understand why hearing that, it makes you continue doing the pageant and
yeah.
It's enabling other women to achieve that same sense of worthiness. That's a big word, worthiness. Yeah. And it is. That's the thing with them, people are listening, they're are in their own businesses, or they're busy, you know, working for someone else, and they've got busy lives with family and trying to get everything done. And fitness and health is usually the thing that goes first, and it shouldn't never be, because it's the thing that's needed the most to enable you to do everything else. Trying to find the time for it. How they women prioritize that time and found that time for themselves?
Yep. So for all the contestants, their journeys are all going to be very different. Because they're all going to have their own mindset about things. So we can promote and encourage certain habits and certain ways of doing it, but at the end of the day, every woman's individual and they've got different things going on. So we are very, very much about the balance of life. Yes, we all know fitness is important for our health, to give us the energy to live out, to live our lives, but it's also incorporating that holistic side where you do it because you've got the time to give to yourself, and not going overboard with it. So sometimes with the fitness mindset, from my experience in the industry, that people can be a very all or nothing, which is what we're trying to break. Because again, we've got jobs, we've got families, we've got, all these other things. If you're fixated on training so hard because you think that you need to train that hard, it's going to impact the rest of your life. It's going to impact your energy, your sleep, your relationships. So we very much encourage a very holistic approach, balanced approach. Some weeks, you might just get a walk in on the weekend. Be kind to yourself about it. Not every week is going to be the same. So just really that awareness of being kind to yourself and not judging yourself. As long as you're making an effort, that should be encouraged.
That is such an important factor. And I know, this is, you mentioned earlier about having a lifelong mindset to fitness and health and wellness. And, I remember when I was doing all the training, and I used to run as well and do crazy things like that, my brother-in-law said to me, "So when will you stop all this fitness training things?" And I've gone, "Well, when I die, probably." It was a weird question. I just didn't get it. Why would you stop at any stage? It's changed a lot over the years. And what I do now is classes very minimal compared to what I used to do. And I probably have a better mindset towards it now than the intensity of what I used to do. But it's just, you just want to feel well, and that's, and I encourage clients all the time, part of their mindset thing is to move your body. Doesn't matter what that looks like, but whatever it looks like to you is to move the body. But yeah, it was really weird to me going, "I don't know. I can't imagine stopping." Get the walker out,
Yeah, it can become an addiction. So it is, that balanced approach.
And it is that balance, because I saw that a lot when I was an instructor, is that where people were, particularly people in the classes, they'd go from one class to the next class, and then they'd be obsessed. And if they missed a day, it would be quite a stressful, tragic sort of moment in trying to get back into it. And I know I touched on that a little bit myself. And I saw a movie about some ballet dancers and the intensity that these were top-level ballet dancers, the intensity that they trained and the injuries they put themselves through. And it was also – then they hit to some elite swimmers. It was obviously – that was the show it was about this intense mindset to doing something and injuries. And I'm thinking, you're crazy, Janine. This you're not an elite getting paid for this. This is just really crazy. Pull back. And it made the whole difference about I could still do the things or I didn't. Yeah. It changed that mindset. And it was, okay, you want to be able to, I don't run now, obviously, the body says that was not a good idea, but you do things that fit your lifestyle, fit your age, fit your, you know, what your body allows you to do, as long as you keep moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. I love the idea of this pageant. I think it's, you know, something that is of high value to be available to people, you know, to, again, I'm going to use those ladies' words, to build that sense of self-worth and feel like they absolutely enough, to accept that you, your body and how you look and how you feel, and then to love yourself rather than just constantly not feeling good enough. So yeah, and not having that all or nothing feeling about anything. So to any takeaway points, Miriam, that you want people to remember before we wrap up?
I think, you know, male or female, you know, just be really kind to yourself. No one is perfect. And, you know, again, we're doing things for longevity, not a short fix. And I guess one of the other takeaways would be you never ever know who you're going to inspire on your journey, or why an opportunity might come your way, or why something might happen. You never know where it's going to lead. You know, I put my hand up to do a bikini comp because I, you know, thought, okay, I'm going to do something crazy. And 7 years later, you know, I'm doing this. So you just never know where life's going to take you. Surround yourself by, you know, people that share your values, you know, that are going to cheer you on, and you can, you know, give that back, because I believe, you know, everything is about, you know, giving and receiving. You know, what you put out to the world, you're going to give back.
Yes, most definitely. No, they're such good points, and it's just being kind to yourself. I think that is the biggest thing, isn't it? Yeah. So how people can learn more about the Misfit Bikini Model pageant?
So we've got our website, misfitbikinimodel.com.au. We are on social media, of course. You know, whether you're thinking of a pageant or if you just want some inspiration, we have so many beautiful, inspiring stories through our social media, and, you know, always sharing just the healthy habits and the positive mindset. So even if you're just needing a little bit of inspo to, you know, live happy and healthily, check us out.
Yes. And as you were saying that, it's even if somebody, I think having the conversation now, people listening to this, it may inspire people who would never have thought that they could be in a Misfit Bikini Model pageant. Absolutely. Just knowing that it's about them building that level of confidence in themselves and belief in themselves instead. That's really cool. Thank you. So we've got the website, which is Misfit Bikini Model. Is there anything you want to add just before we wrap up?
Sorry, Janine?
Is there anything you want to add just before we wrap up?
Actually, there is a cool part of my company that we haven't touched on. So I am very big on supporting and promoting women in business and Australian businesses. So a big part of what we do all year round is promoting women in business. So we have a lot of sponsors that we collaborate with. So that's a big part of what we do.
So how do you support them?
So a lot of it is done by like content creation, a lot of marketing, reviews. We obviously have a platform of women who love supporting businesses as well. The majority of it is anything to do with health, fitness, wellness, beauty, self-development, anything to do with something that might align with what we're about. We love to connect. So whether it's a service or a product, we have kind of women there that are happy to support and use and promote.
Excellent. And how do they find that? Is that still on the same website?
Yeah, absolutely. Or they can just reach out via the website or to myself.
Okay.
Happy to chat.
And all your contact details are on the course notes. So however people are listening or watching this, they'll be able to find that information. Thank you, Miriam. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's opened my eyes to something a little bit different that I hadn't thought of. And I love the idea that you're also working with supporting women in business, and I'll check out that platform as well. It's been a great conversation. I hope you've enjoyed it. That's another episode of the We Are Women podcast done and dusted. Remember to visit JeaneVosper.com. If you have got any questions about things you may be doing in your business, or you want to build your brand and you want to be able to stand out in a really busy marketplace, then book a strategy call and we can have a conversation and figure out what might be the best direction for you to go. I am Jeaneen Vosper. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.